Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today we continue with the book of Judges, and I wanted to take a look at the beginning here of the opening prayer. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things, which no eye can see. I mean, this is the essence of goodness. This is not, oh yeah, it's good. But the good things, good means the fullness of, scripturally. It means the goodness of God himself. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things, which no eye can see. Fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises, which surpass every human desire. That's not just nice prayer, brothers and sisters. That's the truth. We have all these kinds of desires that turn us upside down and inside out sometimes because we're seeking not what God wants to give us, but what the world holds out to us. And yet what God wants to give us is beyond every human desire, greater than you can imagine. But in order to receive those goods, we have to divest ourselves of our human treasures, our attachment. Many times we can't divest ourselves totally because what we're doing, those things are needed. But don't let that be an excuse. Have I given to the poor? Am I bound to my wealth, to my riches? Am I bound to it in such a way that they shackle me, cripple me from following the Lord, from being generous, from being lavish? Brothers and sisters, really, take a look at this. If you want to be happy, do it God's way. You'll be happy in this world, and you will gain eternal life. If you follow the priorities of God, what God offers, you're going to know a joy no one will take from you, and that's true. Take a look at that opening prayer for today. O God, who have prepared for those who love you good things which no eye can see, fill our hearts, we pray, with the warmth of your love, so that loving you in all things and above all things, we may attain your promises which surpass every human desire. Let's take a look now at the book of Judges, this time chapter 6, verses 11 to 24. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to save it from the Midianites. They didn't want their crops to be destroyed by the enemy. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, "The Lord is with you, O champion." Now, Gideon is just a poor, humble guy, really. He's simple, he's poor. And here's an angel who comes and says, "The Lord is with you, O champion." See, the way God sees us, good and evil, the way God sees us is far different than the way we see ourselves. And Gideon said to him, "My Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are his wondrous deeds of which our fathers told us when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' For now the Lord has abandoned us, has delivered us into the power of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go with the strength you have and save Israel from the power of Midian." Listen to that. He says, we're nothing. Everything's been taken from us. We feel like the Lord has abandoned us. He's delivered us into the power of our enemies. And the Lord says to him, "Go with the strength you have, whatever little you have, and save Israel from the power of Midian. It is I who send you." But Gideon answered him, "Please, my Lord, how can I save Israel? My family is the lowliest in Manasseh. I'm the most insignificant in my father's house. I'm nothing." "I shall be with you," the Lord said to him, "and you will cut down Midian to the last man." Gideon answered him, "If I find favor with you, give me a sign that you are speaking with me. Do not depart from here, I pray you, until I come back to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. He answered, I will await your return. So Gideon went off. Hospitality was essential, brothers and sisters, in those days. Hospitality. So Gideon went off and prepared a kid and a measure of flour in the form of unleavened cakes, and putting the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, he brought them out to him under the terebinth and presented them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened cakes and lay down on this rock, then pour out the broth. When he had done so, the angel of the Lord stretched out the tip of the staff he held and touched the meat and the unleavened cakes. Thereupon a fire came up from the rock that consumed the meat and the unleavened cakes, and the angel of the Lord disappeared from sight. You see, what that means is that God had accepted. He was simply offering hospitality, but God saw it as being offered to himself, and God received it. Gideon, now aware that it had been the angel of the Lord, said, alas, Lord God, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face, because they believed you couldn't see God and live, which in a sense is true. And the Lord answered him, be calm. Do not fear. Do not fear. You shall not die. So Gideon built there an altar to the Lord and called it Yahweh Shalom, the Lord of Peace. It's quite an encounter, brothers and sisters, quite an encounter, and we're going to see what happens out of all that in the days ahead. Psalm 85, the Lord speaks of peace to his people. He wants to bring us to peace. The other thing I want you to notice is how often, almost always, the Lord chooses the lowliest and the most humble. Why? Because he can work through them, because they will obey him, because they know he is the source. They trust him more than they trust themselves. And you and I are often in a position where we trust ourselves more than we trust God. If we can't see the whole provision laid out, then it can't be God. God could never ask this of me. And yet, look what happened here. Where's your trust? Where's the source of your trust? Is it in God? Or is it in yourself? Or is it in someone else? Or is it in your work? Or is it in a relationship? Where's your trust? Where's the foundation of your trust? Make sure it's in God. And if it's not, ask him to give you the grace to reorder that trust. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, verses 23 to 30. Jesus said to his disciples, amen, I say to you, it will be hard for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle, seemingly impossible, right, than for one who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. We have too much. It weighs us down. We can't take the narrow way because we're too burdened down with the things we have accumulated and the things we've put our confidence in, the things that we think give us influence and prestige, etc., etc. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, who then can be saved? It's a logical question. Jesus looked at them and said, for men it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. That wasn't exactly the answer they were looking for. Then Peter said to him in reply, we have given up everything and followed you. What will there be for us? And Jesus said to them, amen, I say to you that you who have followed me in this new age, that is the age of the Messiah on earth, when the Son of Man is seated on his throne of glory, will yourselves sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel? And everyone who has given up homes or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or lands for the sake of my name shall receive 100 times more and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first, who seem in the eyes of the world to be first, will be last. And many of those that we despise or disregard in some way, never take into account, the last will be first. You don't want to be too surprised brothers and sisters, when you enter the judgment room, so to speak, of God, when you see what's real, you don't want to feel like you're being turned upside down and inside out. We want to give God permission to do that today, right now. Lord, let your values, the values of the Word of God, what you have spoken to us, turn me inside out that I might follow them, that I might give up my ways, so to speak, of doing business, that I might cherish your way more than my own way. And sometimes that feels pretty frightening, actually, because we've accumulated and we cling to, and sometimes we don't recognize how much we depend on something until it's taken from us. We want to be in a place where we are truly free, truly free. And that means that my values, my priorities are based on Scripture. They're based on the Word of God and not on my own likes and dislikes. I want to treasure what God treasures. I want to discard what God discards, so that I am more and more in a place where heaven won't be a culture shock. Of course, if it were a terrible culture shock, we probably wouldn't be making it anyway. But to all of us, to see life in perfection, to see life as God intended it to be, and even more, infinitely more, will be quite the culture shock. Unless in this life we have chosen, as far as possible, by His grace, not just by our willpower, but by His grace, have made what is first in our hearts what is first in God's heart. And what's first in God's heart is not our bank account. It's not our levels of influence. It's not our titles, and it's not our degrees. It's not our positions of power, wherever that may happen. It's none of that. Unless you become like a little child, said Jesus, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What he meant was the simplicity of a child. The child sees its immediate need, asks it to be met, as one expression. We have 1,000 needs, maybe even more than that. We're always looking to secure, to attain, to grasp, to possess, to hold. Where if we're truly, truly his disciples, our hands are open. They aren't holding on to anything. Even as a family, there are many ways in which that can be lived up. What are you teaching your children to value? What are you teaching your children are worth putting their time, their energy, their gifts? Take a look at this. Take a look at this. Because you want to be a light shining in the darkness of a world that has made worldly values its sole goal. It's discarded God. You want your values to be like light in the darkness. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I'd like to offer you a new free booklet entitled The Final Confrontation by Ralph Martin. I am very interested in your response, and you can write to me at Renewal Ministries. To access the free booklet, simply call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.